It seems that as Australians, we value the idea of fairness. Indeed, we want our country to be one where there is a fair go for all people. And so given that we appear to value fairness so highly, my guess is that as you heard Matthew 20 verses 1 to 16 read out just then, that there might have been something inside of you reacting against the story. There might have been something in you going, this just does not sound right. And the reason why we probably felt that way is because Matthew 21 to 16 is a story that Jesus told about a landowner who appears to pay his workers unfairly. So let me just go through the story again. So we have a landowner who has a vineyard. It's time for all the grapes in the vineyard to be harvested. And the landowner goes to the local village, to the marketplace. And what would happen at that time was that people who were looking for work would stand in the marketplace waiting for a landowner to come and employ them for the day. And so this is probably taking place around 6 in the morning that the landowner first goes to the marketplace and says to a bunch of workers, come work in my vineyard and I will give you a denarius. And a denarius was a value of money which was what was normally paid for a day's wages for such a person. So what the landowner is offering to these people to work in his vineyard is the award rate, is what we would say today. Okay. Anyway, 9 o'clock in the morning, he seems to want more workers. Same at midday and at 3 and even at 5 p.m. And so across the day, he keeps getting more workers to come into his vineyard. And then knock-off time comes, 6 p.m., and it's time to pay the workers. And very interestingly, the landowner starts with the people who were employed at 5 p.m. and gives them one denarius. Indeed, gives everyone who worked in his land that day one denarius, even those who had worked from probably around 6 a.m. in the morning through to 6 p.m. at night. And those who were employed first are not very happy. Indeed, we see in verse 12, they say this, these who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. When they saw those people getting paid who had started work at 5 p.m., when they saw them getting paid one denarius, they were obviously thinking, we're going to get paid more. Even though they'd only agreed to a denarius, they thought, we're going to get paid more. And they were very, very disappointed when they found out they were getting paid exactly the same as those who had only worked for 1 hour. One person in one of my Bible study groups this week, upon hearing this story, said, those workers needed a union. We hear that story and it just sounds so unfair, right? And so at this point, you might be thinking, what's Jesus actually on about in this story? Jesus often told stories, what were called parables, and the parables would have some kind of meaning, which was designed to teach a lesson. What's the lesson that Jesus is actually teaching us here? And why does Jesus feel the need to tell this story and the lesson that is attached to it? That's what we're going to find out now. So let's turn to what this parable is actually all about. What we see is that Matthew 21 to 16 is a story that Jesus told to his disciples about what to expect in the kingdom of heaven. So Jesus says in verse 1, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. This is a parable, a story designed to teach us something about the reality of the kingdom of heaven. Now, we heard about the kingdom of heaven last week. Heaven, of course, is the place where God is, because we do pray our Father in heaven. Heaven is the place where God's throne is. Isaiah 66:1 tells us, and he rules over all things from there. Heaven is the place where God's will is always done, we heard last week. And that's why it's such a fantastic place. All the sadness, all the disappointments, all the trauma, all the suffering that occurs now in this life, ultimately is a result of the fact that we live in a world where God's will is not done. People don't live in obedience to God's will. But in heaven, it's different. Everyone does live in accordance with God's will. And that's why it's a place of joy. It's a place of peace. Jesus describes the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 8 as a place of great feasting. All the bad things that plague us now are gone in the kingdom of heaven. And it's a place where the treasures are never stolen and where moths and rust don't destroy those treasures either. It's totally different to what we have now. What's Jesus teaching us in Matthew 20, though, about the kingdom of heaven? What else do we learn about the kingdom of heaven from this parable? Well, what we see is that everyone in the kingdom of heaven is treated equally. Everyone in the kingdom of heaven is treated equally. So, the person who was a Christian for 70 years is treated exactly the same as the person who had the deathbed conversion. The person who served in deepest, darkest Africa for 40 years is treated in the same way as the person who served faithfully in their local church. Everyone, we are told, is treated equally in the kingdom of heaven. And at this point, some of you might go, is that right? Is that fair? You know, that someone who was a Christian for 70 years would get the exact same thing as someone who had a deathbed conversion, someone who served on the mission field for so long, get something the same as that of the person who just served in the local church faith. Is that fair? Is that right? Well, friends, what we see in this passage is that God is not doing anything wrong by treating everyone equally in the kingdom of heaven. Now, I want you to notice some details in this parable. So look at verses 3 to 4 to start with. About 9 in the morning, the landowner went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." Whatever is right. Here, the landowner is presented as someone who is keen to do the right thing by those that he employs. He wants to do the right thing by those he employs. That's a detail that I think Jesus very deliberately puts in. Have a look at verse 13. As he responds to those who are grumbling about only getting one talent, even though one denarius, even though they had worked the whole day, he answered one of them, "I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius?" The word unfair could be translated unjust. I'm not doing anything wrong to you. I have actually done what I have promised. What he was paying them was the norm for workers in that day. He had said that he would pay them that, and he did pay them that. Okay, so Jesus is at pains to tell us that the landowner in this story has not done anything wrong. He wants to do what is right, and he certainly did nothing wrong when it came to how he treated those who had worked all day. The landowner was someone who wanted to be righteous. But also, we see this about the landowner in verse 15. He says, "Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?" The landowner is not only committed to doing what is right, he also wants to be generous. And he has the right to be generous, he says. Friends, he did what was right by those who worked all day, and for the rest, he showed undeserved generosity. Undeserved generosity to them. And friends, ultimately, when it comes to entering into the kingdom of heaven, it only happens because of the undeserving generosity of God towards us and the way in which he acted rightly by making that happen. And Romans chapter 3 verses 25 to 26 highlight these two things working together for us. We read, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of his blood to be received by faith. We heard last week that none of us is qualified to enter into the kingdom of heaven. We've all disqualified ourselves, if you like, from entering into the kingdom of heaven by virtue of our rebellion against God, by virtue of our sin. We deserve to be excluded from the kingdom of heaven, not welcomed into it. But friends, God is a loving God, a generous God, a God who actually treats us in ways that we don't deserve. And we heard last week that God did that by sending Jesus to pay the penalty that we all deserve for our sins. So we could be qualified to enter into the kingdom. Here in Romans 3, we are told God presents Jesus as a sacrifice of atonement. Because of our sin, we're separated from God. Broken relationship. But Christ's sacrifice is designed to make us at one. He takes the punishment we deserve. Our guilt was laid on him, so that by faith we could be forgiven and cleansed and qualified to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And friends, God did all of that even though we don't deserve it. He opened up entry into the kingdom of heaven for us at great cost to himself through the death of his son. That is the most profound generosity you'll ever come across. And it's totally undeserved. And that's what grace is. God's undeserved generosity towards sinners. But not only do we see God's generosity in the death of Jesus, we also see his righteousness. The next part of this passage goes on to say, God did this, that is, sacrificed his son for us, to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, he had left the sins committed beforehand, that is the sins in the times of the Old Testament, unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time, so as to be just, and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Through Jesus Christ, we can be justified by faith. And the idea of justified is we can be declared as innocent before God, even though we're sinners. And therefore we can have entry into the kingdom. But notice, friends, the reason why Jesus died for us was so God could be just in justifying us. So God could be just in justifying us. See, friends, God could have just out of his generosity said to each and every one of us, look, you've done the wrong thing and I'm really offended, but sure, come into my kingdom. He could have done all that without Jesus dying. But if God had done that, he would not have been acting rightly. He would not have been acting justly. Because we've all done wrong. We're all guilty before him. We're all deserving of punishment from him. And do we not get outraged when we hear stories on the news about someone who's done something wrong getting off from any kind of punishment because of some kind of technicality or something? Don't we get really, really angry about that? Well, friends, if God just let us into his kingdom without Jesus' death, that's what God would be doing, acting unjustly. But no, friends, God is not just generous, he's also righteous. And as he shows his generosity towards us, he acts in a right way too, by dealing with the punishment that we deserve through his son. In Jesus, God absorbs the punishment that we all deserve. He's like the judge who has someone standing before him, they've been speeding, he's got to fine them $1,000. He sees that the person is hard up, and out of his generosity, he pays the fine on behalf of the person who'd done the wrong. That's what God is like. One who is profoundly generous. Generous to those who don't deserve it, but also wholehearted in doing what is right. We see both of those realities in Jesus. And it's both of those realities about God that Jesus speaks about in Matthew 20. So I want to assure you, friends, when God treats everyone the same in the kingdom of heaven, it's not God being unfair, it's not God being unrighteous. No, friends, God is totally righteous. What we have to remember when it comes to the kingdom of heaven is that none of us actually deserves entry into it. And that's why it's the same for all. None of us deserves entry into it. Remember last week, we heard that to enter into the kingdom of heaven, we've got to have childlike humility and childlike dependence upon God and all that he has done in Jesus. Childlike humility in the sense we actually have to come before God and say, God, I bring nothing to the table. I am in no way deserving of a place in your kingdom. And so I have to depend wholeheartedly, totally on what you have done through Jesus, because I bring nothing. And friends, because none of us brings anything to the table, everything in the kingdom of the heaven is the same for all of us. The same for all of us. Praise God that we can actually enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? Because none of us deserves it. None of us at all deserves it. And friends, again, it doesn't matter. You've been a Christian 70 years. Someone has a deathbed conversion. It's the same because both are undeserving and both gain entry as a result of God's grace. You might have been a missionary for 40 years in deepest, darkest Africa. You might have just served in your local church. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, neither are deserving. And that's why the experience is exactly the same for both. And so what Jesus is telling us here in this parable is that by the grace of God, we can enter into his kingdom, and because it's purely by grace alone, our experience of the kingdom of heaven will be the same for each and every one of us. God treats us the same way. And as we think about that reality that I've just described from the parable, we see that there's some things we need to avoid as a result. And so Matthew 21:16 warns us about two attitudes we need to avoid. Two attitudes we need to avoid. And the first is the attitude of entitlement. The attitude of entitlement. We see this attitude of entitlement coming out from those workers who were employed first in this story. They say, "These who were hired last worked only 1 hour," they said, "and you have made them equal to us, who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." We are more entitled than they are, is what is being said there. We are more entitled than them. We should be getting more than them because we've worked longer than them. It's an attitude of entitlement. Now, friends, I think the reason why Jesus told this particular parable about the kingdom of heaven and everything being equal is because I think he sensed in his disciples the attitude of entitlement. The attitude of entitlement. Did you notice that Matthew 20 verse 1 started with the word "for"? For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. And whenever you see the word "for" at the start of a sentence like that, straight away you should be asking what's come before it. How does this kind of relate, what's about to be said, relate to what came before it? That's what you've got to ask. And so what came before our passage today? Well, we heard about it last week. Jesus talked about the need for childlike humility, childlike dependence upon God in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And we heard the story, didn't we, about the rich young man who came to Jesus, who was not childlike at all, because he said, "What good thing must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus ultimately told him to give away his riches, sell his riches, give away to the poor, come follow him. The man wouldn't do that. Jesus talked about how really it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for the rich to enter into his kingdom. And at that point, the disciples are like, "Whoa, how does that work?" But I want you to notice, though, what Peter said in chapter 19, verse 27. Peter answered him, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us. We've left everything to follow you. Yes, they had. They'd left behind families. They'd left behind businesses. Matthew had left behind being a tax collector and the riches that came with that. Yes, they'd left behind comfort and security in order to follow around this man. And Jesus acknowledged that they'd done that. And he said, it's okay, guys. You're going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. You'll be blessed 100 times as much now. And you're going to have eternal life. But I think Jesus was concerned by this question. What then will there be for us? We've left everything to follow you, Jesus. Surely there's something in it for us. There's a sense of entitlement in that question. An attitude of entitlement. And I think Jesus tells the disciples this parable about the kingdom of heaven to remind them that their heavenly experience is totally dependent upon God's grace and nothing to do with them. Yes, they might be the first ones that Jesus called. Yes, they have left things to follow him. Yes, they've done all that. But the kingdom of heaven would be the same for them as for the person with the deathbed conversion. Exactly the same. He's telling this story to say to them, yes, you might have done these things, but don't have a sense of entitlement about it. You're not owed anything. Indeed, the attitude that we really need to have is the attitude that Jesus speaks about in Luke 17:10. So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, or literally slaves. We have only done our duty. Friends, a slave's whole purpose in life as one owned by the master is to serve the master, to work hard for the master. And it's not like the slave one day might say, well, I'm going to work a little bit harder so my master might reward me somehow. No. It's just expected as a slave that you will work hard, that you will work as hard as you can for your master. And friends, as followers of Jesus, the Bible speaks about the fact that we are slaves of Christ. We have been bought at a price, 1 Corinthians 6 says, by the blood of Christ. Once we were slaves to sin, now we're slaves of Christ. And when we serve in the name of Christ, we're just doing what we're meant to be doing. If we suffer persecution because we serve, we're just doing what we're meant to be doing. If we go overseas to proclaim the gospel somewhere else, we're just doing what we're meant to be doing. It's not like we're doing something special that means that we should have first class in the kingdom of heaven, or maybe business class, not economy. No, friends, as slaves of Christ, we're just meant to do what we're meant to do. As slaves of Christ, we are called to deny ourselves. We're called to take up the cross, to carry it daily. We are called to devote ourselves to Christ wholeheartedly, no matter the cost. That's just normal. It's not grounds for an upgrade in the kingdom of heaven. And we have to remember that. And so I want to say to you, you know, if you kind of are serving in a way, thinking, oh yes, I'm somehow going to get rewards for this, friends, think again. We're just doing what we're meant to be doing. Oh yes, I'm going to put in extra so I can have a better experience of heaven. No, that's not how it works. We only get into the kingdom of heaven by God's grace. We bring nothing to the table. We have to remember that. Remember, childlike humility. We bring nothing to the table at all. We're meant to be serving wholeheartedly. Some might say, oh, gee, not having any kind of reward, that takes away a bit of motivation to serve God, doesn't it? I'd say, friends, we shouldn't be thinking about rewards. We should be motivated by God's grace that has already been showered upon us. One of the advantages of having my Bible study groups do the passage that I'm preaching on this week is that they often help me write my sermons. And And so one of my members of my Thursday night group told me this great story that illustrates what I'm talking about here. He talked about how his stepdad was off on a bushwalk one day and he came across a dog that was caught in a snare. And the more the dog wrestled to try and get out of the snare, the tighter the snare became. And so the only way the dog could be released is if someone actually released the dog from the snare. And so this man, this stepdad of the person in my group, saw the dog and came and freed the dog. Now, it could be a dangerous thing to do that because you could have a situation where you free the dog and then the dog turns on you. But in this case, the man freed the dog and the man walked away and the dog followed after him and would not leave him. And I think the reason why the dog followed after him and would not leave him was because the dog was just so thankful to have been freed from the snare. Friends, we were slaves to sin. We were in the dominion of darkness. We were facing exclusion from the kingdom of God. Yet God, out of his generosity towards us, at great cost to himself, gave his son that we could have entry into the kingdom. And like that dog that followed the man that freed him, we are now to follow Christ wholeheartedly. We are to be willing to give our lives for him, if that's what it takes. We are to be wholehearted in serving him. That's just what is expected. And what should motivate us to do that is not the hope that we might get some reward in the future, but what God has done already in Christ. And so let's keep encouraging one another to live wholeheartedly for Christ in response to the grace that he has shown to us. If you have that sense of entitlement, friends, repent of it. Okay? Repent of it. Because we are meant to be people who don't come to God with any sense of entitlement, but who say, I come with nothing. I come with nothing. Now, flowing out of an attitude of entitlement can be another attitude that we need to avoid, and that is the attitude of envy. And we see this attitude of envy talked about in verse 15. The landowner says, don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious? Because I am generous. Well, friends, those workers who were hired at 6 a.m. in the morning were indeed envious of those who got the same amount of money as them but worked less. They were envious of that. And envy here is referring to a feeling of discontentment because of what has happened to someone else or a feeling of resentment because of what has happened to someone else. That's what they were feeling, that sense of discontent and resentment. You know, we might feel a sense of resentment to God that, the deathbed conversion gets the exact same as me. I don't like that, God. Or the scumbag murderer becomes a Christian and experiences the same things in the kingdom as me, who was not a murderer. I don't know if I like that, God. I feel a bit resentful about that, a bit discontented about that. Well, friends, we have no right to be envious. We have no right to be resentful. Because none of us deserves to be in the kingdom. You see, when you have that kind of envy, you think you are somehow more deserving, don't you? I'm more deserving than them. How can they have that? But friends, none of us is more deserving than anyone else. Friends, if you have this sense of entitlement, this attitude of envy, please take careful note of Jesus' words in verse 16. So the last will be first and the first will be last. Those words, very similar to those in Matthew 19, verse 30, but many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first. And when we looked at those words last week, I talked about the first are those who really sort of think they are something, who think that they are deserving somehow of God's blessing because of something about them, who have a sense of entitlement, but they end up last. Now, friends, we heard last week, we've got to be like the last. That means being childlike in humility. We've got to recognize that we bring nothing to the table at all. Nothing. Not one little thing. We have to come before God and say, God, I bring nothing. I'm totally undeserving of any blessing from you in the kingdom of heaven. And I depend totally upon what you have done in Christ. You see, friends, if you have that attitude of the first, you won't depend totally on what God has done in Christ. Because you have that attitude of the first, you're actually depending on yourself. That's why childlike humility and dependence upon God is necessary to enter into the kingdom, because none of us deserves it. And it's only through Christ and the grace that God has shown that we can have it. So what does the parable of the landowner teach us? Everyone's treated equally in the kingdom of heaven. And the reason why everyone's treated equally in the kingdom of heaven is because we are all undeserving of being in the kingdom of heaven. And so we've got to resist those attitudes of entitlement and envy. Challenging way of thinking about things, isn't it? Kind of runs against the grain of how our world thinks about things. But the kingdom's different to our world. And so what I want you to do now is just spend a few moments just reflecting on all of this. Think about one big thing that you've learned. Write it down, and you can share it over morning tea. But I also just want you to take a moment to think about, do you have a sense of entitlement? Do you think you're better than others? Do you think you're somehow more deserving of blessing from God than others? Are you envious, resentful about how God has shown grace to others that you think are not deserving of it or are less deserving than you? Let me encourage you to think about that. And in a moment, we're going to share together in the Lord's Supper. We're going to remember God's grace to us in the Lord's Supper. And we're also going to confess our sins. And it'd be a good time to actually come before God and acknowledge any times when we've felt that sense of entitlement or that envy. But I'll give you a moment to think and reflect.